Welcome to ESL Podcast English Cafe, number 11. Welcome back to the English Cafe. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles, California. On today's cafe, we're going to talk about Groundhog Day in the United States. We'll go over some of the top television programs in the U.S. this year. We have some corrections to make from the last cafe. And as always, we'll talk about some questions that you have. Let's go. I'm not sure if you can hear in the background here. I have my heater on because it's a little cold today. I live about 2 miles from the ocean, and that would be, let's see, about a little more than 3 kilometers from the ocean. And we often get the clouds from the ocean coming over us, and it's a little cooler in this part of the city of Los Angeles than other parts of Southern California where we are. I am going to begin, as I often begin our cafes, with some mistakes I made in the last cafe. I actually made at least three mistakes that I want to correct. It is getting in a few more weeks will be the beginning of American baseball. And there's an expression in baseball, 3 strikes and you're out. A strike, S-T-R-I-K-E. A strike is when you try to hit the ball, but you miss. And you only get 3 strikes, before you have to leave the game or don't get any more chances, at least until the next part of the game, and that means that you are out. Well, I have at least 3 strikes from the last cafe. The first one, and Lucy corrected me after she heard the cafe. She said that I was talking about the expression take out. And takeout is when you order food from a restaurant and then you go to the restaurant to pick it up. And I said in Britain they call that carry away, not takeout, but I'm wrong. Actually, the expression they use is take away. So takeaway in Britain is the same as takeout in the United States. That's strike one. Strike two, even bigger mistake that Andrea pointed out to me, I believe from Italy. And Andrea said that I was going to talk about the Queen song, We Are the Champions. But I actually talked about a different song by the same group, We Will Rock You. And so I got the name of the song wrong. And when I was explaining one of the lines, one of the sentences from the words of the song, the lyrics, I said that the expression kicking your can all over the place, I said that can was like an empty can on the street. But Lucy pointed out to me, told me that's probably not what that means. Here, can, C-A-N, is a slang word for butt, B-U-T-T, your butt, you know, what you sit on. That's we sometimes call that your can. So to be kicking your can, someone else kicking your can would mean someone else beating you up, someone else fighting you and beating you. That is strike three. So I guess I'm out when it comes to last week's cafe. But today is a new day, and we're going to talk about two things today before we get to some questions. The first is Groundhog Day. February 2nd, which was actually, last Thursday. February 2nd in the United States is called Groundhog Day. And groundhog is all one word, G-R-O-U-N-D-H-O-G. It's also called a woodchuck, all one word, W-O-O-D-C-H-U-C-K. It's the same animal. It's a small animal that's found in Canada and in the United States mostly. And it's a small animal with a kind of a big body and little legs. Anyway, a groundhog day was February 2nd, and there was an old story that if the groundhog comes out and sees its shadow on February 2nd, its shadow, of course, is when the sun is behind it. If you stand out and there is sun outside, you will have a shadow, that your shape on the ground. Well, if a groundhog comes out of its hole where it lives under the ground and it sees its shadow, that means that we will have a short winter. That winter is almost over. Another, I think they say, 6 weeks if the groundhog sees his shadow on February 2nd. If the groundhog doesn't see his shadow, then we will have a long winter, and it will be cold for many more weeks. Well, what is this all about? Where does this come from? Well, it's not an official holiday, of course, Groundhog Day, but if you buy a calendar in the United States and you look at February 2nd, you will probably see the word Groundhog Day. And it's an old tradition about the weather and predicting the weather. And it is always on February 2nd. There was actually a movie a few years ago, very good movie, I liked a lot, kind of a comedy, which you may look for if you like comedies. It was called Groundhog Day, and it's was with a actor called Bill Murray. And it was a very funny movie about a man who wakes up and every day is February 2nd. So he goes through the day, he falls asleep. When he wakes up again, it's the same day. And it was a very good movie. I thought I'd talk a little bit also today about some popular television shows here in the United States this year. And some of these shows you may be able to see on DVD if you live outside of the United States. One of the most popular shows this year and last year is a show called Lost, L-O-S-T, Lost. And it's about a group of people who are in a plane crash. And a crash, C-R-A-S-H, is when a plane goes down, hits the ground, or hits the ocean, the water. And these people survive the crash, but they are marooned on an island. to be marooned, M-A-R-O-O-N-E-D, means that you are isolated. You are trapped somewhere. We usually use that term for an island. So if you get lost in the ocean and you find an island, but you can't leave the island, then you are marooned there. Anyway, this television show, Lost, is about a group of people who are marooned on an island, but it is also sort of a science fiction show. Some very strange things happening. A couple of other popular shows this year on American television. One show, there are now three shows with about this same idea, and that show is called CSI, and CSI stands for Crime Scene Investigation. And it is a program about police officers who investigate the physical evidence of a crime. So when, for example, someone is killed, someone is murdered, there's a special group in the police that come and they take pictures of the victim, the person who died, of the crime, the victim of the crime, V-I-C-T-I-M, is the person who was hurt or killed. They'll also look for fingerprints, and a fingerprint is that something that comes from your fingers. It's unique to every human being. You have unique fingerprints. And so they come and collect information. And this is a fictional show about people, police officers. And it's very popular. A scene, S-C-E-N-E, is the same as a place. And I don't watch either Lost or CSI, but I know they are very, very popular. Now let's answer a few questions. Our first question comes from Vincent in France, or originally from France. I believe he is now in Australia. He wants to know whether it is possible to end a letter or email with the word regards, comma. And yes, that is possible in an informal letter. It would not be used in American English. It's more popular in Australian or British English, perhaps, to say regards at the end of a letter. I think it is still mostly an informal ending for a letter, however. Similarly, Vincent wants to know about the word cheers. Cheers, C-H-E-E-R-S. Is it okay to end your letter or your email by saying cheers? Well, once again, this is a British or Australian English expression. We don't say cheers in American English, at least to mean goodbye or for an end of a letter or an end of an email. And again, even there, even in England or Australia, this is probably mostly an informal expression, something you would use with your friends, probably not for a formal letter. In the United States, if someone says cheers, they mean that they are you are having a drink, usually an alcoholic drink, a beer or wine, and you are toasting. And to toast, T-O-A-S-T, means that you are raising your glass up. And this is common, of course, in every country. And we would say probably cheers. And that's also used in other parts of the world that speak English. Fernando from Spain wants to know the difference between amazing as an adjective and awesome as an adjective? Good question, Fernando. Amazing is something usually we use for a somewhat surprising accomplishment. For example, you see a young child and they run very fast, faster than an adult. Well, that would be amazing. It would be very surprising. We also use the expression amazing just to mean really, really good. Very, very good sometimes. So that was an amazing play, or that was an amazing movie. It means we really, really liked it. It can also be used, amazing can also be used in a negative way. Someone says to you, my friend didn't call me back last night. That's amazing. Again, here it means more of a surprise. It was something that was very surprising. Awesome, AWESOME, is usually nowadays just used to mean a great or wonderful. So it can be used the same way as amazing when you mean a very, very good something. That was an awesome movie means the same as that was a great movie. That was an amazing movie. Those are all the same. So thank you, Fernando, for that question. Awesome, I should say before I go on, awesome is a little informal and a little more common among younger speakers of English. Finally, we have a question from Anthony in Hong Kong. And Anthony has a question about the expression on the heels of. For example, if we say on the heels of a tough year, the president gave a speech to Congress. Well, on the heels of really just means after. It can be a positive thing or a negative thing. On the year, on the heels, and by the way, heels, H-E-E-L-S, is the same word as what's on your foot. The bottom back of your foot is called your heel. On the heels of a tough year, or on the heels of winning the game. Either of those are possible. We sometimes say if it's a good thing, we'll say hot on the heels. Hot, H-O-T. Hot on the heels of winning the game, the players went and had a party. So thank you, Anthony, for your question. Remember to visit our website at www.eslpod.com. And if you have not put your name on our map, be sure to click on the link, Who Are You? And you can put your name and picture, if you want, on our map of listeners. And as always, we invite your comments and questions. Send them to ESLPOD at ESLPOD.com. From Los Angeles, I'm Jeff McQuillan. We'll see you next time on The English Cafe. ESL Podcast English Cafe is written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan. This podcast is copyright 2006 by the Center for Educational Development.